Okay, last one on our list before we get some review, if we end up with time, is judging the spirit. Part of judging the spirit is having something here in our mind when that spirit comes back around to make it clear that there's no vacancy. No, I have made a decision on you. I know how you work. I don't like you. Never did. Don't want you back in my mind. You will not work in my mind. So there's a zeal, a determination, a decision that can be made on a particular spirit. Now it is true that we may say that when we first come in. I'll never let a self-white spirit work again. And that might have been a self-right spirit saying that. Because he knew he was going to work again. But it's after we have come to the knowledge of how an evil spirit works, and we know what that spirit is out to do, then that spirit, that thought, is not going to work. I do not want to kill that person. And I will not. I will not kill that person again. You say, what do you mean, kill him? If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. You don't have to go over and murder him. You don't even have to say anything to him. You've murdered him in your head. And I do not want to kill my brother. Or whatever. Like with adultery. Adultery is killing somebody. I don't want to kill him. Why would adultery be killing somebody? Well, what is it doing? That's an evil spirit, isn't it? If you already committed it by thinking about it in your head, aren't you killing them? Do you love them when you're thinking it? Or are you hating them? What's that spirit doing? It's not loving it, it's wanting something, wanting something, wanting something. Give it me. Look at me. Give me the attention. Love me. Take care of me. It hates those other people. It's using them. It's manipulating them. So when we get the understanding, the discernment on what that spirit is doing, we see how it works. We make a decision on that spirit. It comes back around. We say, no! I serve God. I don't serve you. Or whatever is an effective karate chop answer, our decision's been made. That spirit doesn't have a place to work again. Not in our head. I don't know if someone else has some things to add to that. Judging a spirit.
One thing is to remember that the spirit can come back around either through somebody else or trying to deposit it to our own head directly again or through television or someone. It can come at us in a variety of ways.
Yeah. That's a point that can't be taken lightly. We may think that we've had the discernment on something, and so now we can go out into the world and look at these movies or look at this book or talk to these people or go to that bar or whatever it may be. What was number one? Why? What's our point? Do we want that image to get back in our mind? What are we doing when we're watching it, looking at it, talking it, hearing it? That was Lot that was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked in seeing and hearing. Why would we put ourselves in a vexing circumstance? Are we stronger than God? Is he going to take care of us? Isn't that what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10? Can we make God jealous? Oh, I can go out and if I get in trouble, if the spirit gets in me again, well, God, he'll take care of it. He'll be jealous for me. Well, if we know what the setups are, then why would we put our hand in the rattlesnake barrel? So they can get back in, and there, those angels are wise. Jesus said, be as wise, wiser than serpents. We're going to have to get sharper on how these spirits work. Most everything that we get our head back in is in the world. And we may at first think, well, it's a good thing. I'm interested in this topic. Maybe God can use it. I think I'll study this. I think I'll study this. Well, maybe we need some counsel. Does God want us to get our head into that part of the world? If so, praise God. We've got some counsel seeds to govern us. We don't have to have a thing where an evil spirit says, ooh, wow, look at this. Wait till I tell somebody about this that I found out. No, that's a counsel situation.
Evidence in particular to keep the discernment eye open on is through our family. We're always susceptible to seeds from our family. That's where our guard gets laid down. These people love us, we love them. We're sitting at home relaxing. They just boom. Mm-hmm. And the second one is through our tractor brother. Whether the person, anybody can be fooled by an evil spirit or an evil angel. So that's because tractor brethren are again a situation where our guard is maybe down a little bit of, oh, they wouldn't do something to hurt me. Maybe not intentionally, but that's not to say that the spirit can't work back out of them and say something to, whether it's a judging or a fear spirit or whatever it might be, and it gets going again. So whenever we've had a real battle on something and we're determined, this thing ain't going to work again, keep those eyes going circumspectly every direction. Upside down, inside out, any place. Because that angel's gotten a lot of life off of us. He's lived in this a long time, and he really wants to get that particular idea back in our head.
It seemed like it was stressed that we judge the spirit or the angel after the spirit has gone out, after we've cast it out by grace. But the emphasis also needs to be put on the fact that you judge it before you cast it out. That you make up your mind you don't want it because you do discern what it is. Therefore, you make your decision that you don't want it even before you get grace to cast it out. And so part of judging a spirit is the process of binding it and not letting it work before you ever cast it out. That's part of the trying, proving, testing ground to prove to God you don't want that, is that you bind it and don't let it work in your life. If it's a cussing spirit, you feel like cussing, but you don't. You stop it. You zip your lips, you lock your mouth, and you don't cuss because you know it's wrong to do that. And so you have to go through that judging period of not letting it work. And that is part of the judging or the trial grounds to see whether you have it judged or not. Once it is judged, and then on the outside, then you've already judged it so that you know you don't want it to come back in when the situation is set up.
So if you didn't hear that clearly, binding the spirit is part of the judging process when you have made a decision that you don't want that spirit to work. Then part of the process is going to be first to bind it so that it doesn't work through you. You may still have the thought, the feeling may still be there, but what it wants you to do, you have determined, I will not let that work through me. And then you keep trimming back on the thought, feeling side to where I do not want that feeling working through me. And you get your discernment grown to where that cobweb that works to get that feeling going has been stopped. And you can start to see the setup where it tries to then get back in from the outside. So it is a process, is what's been said, on judging that spirit, not just a one-time thing.
Along with that, one key element in judging a spirit is the key of separation and not agreeing with it. In other words, you have to really know that that thing is not you. Not only do you hate it, I mean, there's a lot of self-hate spirits. Oh, I just hate it when I do that. Well, and never realizing that it's not me doing it, it's an evil spirit. So we may really hate something and not ever really have the connection that that thing is not me. And that key has got to be there. I've got to separate me from the spirit before I can ever really know that I can really be free of that thing and it will never work again. So don't agree with it.
So that's part of, the main part of crucifying an old man is knowing that it's an old man. And that really is not us. So that is separating the spirit from us and not wanting that spirit to work. Another thing that triggered was we are part of a family that God is putting together here. And we can have a desire not to be separated, not to let evil angels separate us from our family members. And that can help us in binding tone of voice, words, actions that would want us to be separated from one another and get on to the real depths of knowing what it means to love one another and not let those angels separate us. That's their big job, is to separate us in whatever way they can from one another and from God.
How do we know when a spirit is saying, well, you didn't get me, so it's a kindred spirit, or if a spirit actually got replanted again, one that you've already cast out?
What difference would it make? If you hear that thought, is that a God thought or is that a devil thought? It's still a thought. So don't agree with the thought. It's a devil thought. Don't agree with the thought. Stop him at the door. However much his foot's got in the door, you don't have to get your measuring tape out and measure how far he's got in the door. Stop him at the door. Close the door on his leg. Close the door on his toes. Stop him as soon as your discernment hears that phrase, stop the thought. Do not agree with it. You don't have to, I wonder if it's this or that or this. That's his tactic. Try to get you thinking on it. Get you off, distracted.
Combination of karate chop and to help with the judging. One other line of thought is one of two. Either I don't want to be that way, or God doesn't want me to be that way. For different people, it's one or the other is more effective. Whether it's jealous, hateful, whatever the situation is, to know inside of yourself that I don't want to be that way, to help stop it. And also, when it comes back around, to keep firmly in mind where this thought takes you. They typically try to fool us and say, it'll be different this time. This time the drug will feel good. This time the boyfriend will be true. This time the job will work out right. This time the education, whatever it is, whatever liberty it is that they promised us, they try to con us, and this time it'll be different. And they had the sure, solid knowledge inside their head, it ain't going to be any different. It's happened that way 3 times or 10 times or 52 times. It's not going to be any different. I don't care how sweet you say it, how long you say it, what terms you use. It's not going to be any different. If you come back into my head, I know where I end up. I end up hurting. I end up hating. I know where I end up, and that's where I don't want to be. This may sound good right here, but I know where I end up being. So it helps stop it again at the door. Shut the door on it. whatever you gotta do, just don't get fooled by it, promising to liberate, and thinking it's gonna end up different this time, because it won't.
Part of the answer to the question is that to know whether that spirit is coming back in or not is, did you judge it before it went out? So if you judge it before it went out, you would know it when it knocked on the door. If you didn't judge it, then it has the right to come back and try. So if that's the importance of judging it before it's cast out, is that you know all of its little tricks and how it may approach the door again. So when you have judged it, it's a thought, it's an idea. You said you didn't want it, so in whatever form it comes dressed in, you're going to recognize it and not let it back in. So there wouldn't be a question whether it's in or out. It should be on the outside. You've already judged it, and since it's judged, you know what it's going to try to do on its way back in, and you would never let it back in.
What I hear you saying is that this judging may take place while you're in a discernment session, realizing what a spirit is and making a decision at that time, or right after a discernment session, you meditate on that, make a decision on it. Is that?
At any time discernment, you have judged that spirit. If your decision is, I don't want it, then you've judged it. And the discernment has pointed out what it really is. So you can make your choice. So now you have that discernment in your head, and that's judging that spirit. Now that I know what it is, I don't want it. And the proof that you really are judging it is that when you're tried by it, while it's still in there, you haven't gone to grace yet, you don't want it. You prove it by not cussing. When the thought is in there, you don't do it. And so it's a period of trial, but you judge it. Now when it's on the outside, anytime it would want to set up a situation to make you cuss, you've already judged it. You don't want it. There's no reason to do it. It's evil. It'll kill me.
So part of the process we had was the discerning and confessing. Now what we're having added to that is not just a confessing, but a judging, a decision that's made. I don't want it, and it will not work again. So that's maybe way down here, but can be right up here earlier in our list.
And the difference is when we were a child, when that cussing spirit came in, we didn't know what it was, that it was evil, that it would kill us. We said it because our neighbor boy said it. We just said the word without knowing what it meant. Our parents were shocked that we knew the word. We just repeated a word that we heard. But after a while, we learned what it was for. It's to work with anger and get your way about something and let people know how you feel about something. So it's not an educated expression, and it's an evil spirit. And so it will kill. Now that we have discernment revealed to us what that is, we can make a decision that we don't want it. And not just because mom or dad said, don't you say that anymore. But we can know the harm, the evil, that is death. And we won't do that cussing anymore. We don't want it in our life. It's part of an old man we're going to crucify. So that's part of the judging. Once that's done, before it ever gets out of us, we're not going to want it when it comes around knocking on the door again.
Question. Do we need to still go back through our old man past and confess on other cussing spirit situations, even though we've made that decision and for practical purposes have judged it already?
And what we said was when discernment reveals it to you. So because you were in a session and got one understanding of where the cussing worked, is no sign you've got the cobweb of the cussing. And that's where you have to go back to understand discernment and know what the whole thing is before you can get the whole thing out.
So
So you may not have gotten the whole cobweb, but you know when that word starts to come out of your mouth, ooh, that's a cussing spirit.
Or the thought in your head.
Or the thought in your head. And hopefully you'll get back to the anger before the cussing, and you can know the cussing's next, and I'll be stopping it.
Against the speaking out spirit, whether it's a cussing or another type that wants to just be heard, words that don't need to be said, say this to ourselves, I don't have to say that as soon as that thought comes through. And it brings attention to the fact that we don't have to say that, whether it's a curse word, whether it's just a foul word, whether it's a word that doesn't need to be said, it's just foolish thought. We can say to ourselves, I don't have to say that. And it stops it.
Maybe as simple as, how are you?
Yeah, everyday thing.
Do I really want to know how you are? So it could be just an old habit that is working.
I have had the seeds about not going back through your discernment that you might pick up some spirit again, but it seems like what's being said is that we really need to meditate and understand the way that these cobwebs have worked so that we can stop them at the pass as far as saying, you know, this I don't want, and to be able to stop them. Can you give some more explanation on that?
I don't know if you're combining the meditating on what evil spirits do in general and realizing that I don't want evil working. And I don't know if you're combining that with going back and meditating on the time that I was at the beach and this happened and this happened and this happened, and boy, that was, it was pretty bad. Watch out that you're not thinking of meditating on it, of getting back into it with your head, where spirits are working again to have the same feelings go through, unless you're in a discernment session and discernment's going back with you to find those spirits that may still be in there. So I'm really not quite sure where you've got the meditating on the cobwebs.
I'm saying to see the cobwebs and see like how, what a judging spirit is or what a judging spirit says, so that you can identify that when it comes up in your head.
Right. When a cobweb is there, you're just looking at spirits. You're not necessarily going back to a scene somewhere.
Right.
You're just looking at, this is on the table. Look at that vomit. Man, look at all the stuff that's in that vomit. Isn't that gross? Isn't that terrible? Isn't that awful? It's on the table. It's not you. And you don't want that stuff working out of you again without having to go back and play in it in some past situation. The only time for that is when you're in discernment, going back, digging up those things.
So I had a similar question. Maybe some techniques could be given on digging.
Okay, we went through some techniques, and we got some more available here this afternoon. We talked about an autobiography. Write your life history. That means, when I was 3, I heard from my parents that we moved from here to there. Had a puppy dog, got run over by a car when I was 4. Played house with the girl next door when I was 5. I remember going to kindergarten, blah, 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 blah. Whatever your history is, you write your autobiography, you take it into discernment, you start looking for spirits connected to it. That's one way to dig. The other digging tool we have is your discernment areas. Discernment areas. Chart. Go through all these different areas of your life. Find out what spirits have gotten involved in all those. Those are digging areas. What were some of the other digging?
Take the spirits that work today. Let's say we had a situation that happened today. There was hurt, there was fear, there was unlove, there was rejection. okay, when are the other times that those have worked in my life? And we call it paralleling.
That was it.
Go back. Well, I had that last Friday. It was Friday night. It happened Friday night. Well, it happened on Tuesday night, too. Well, it looks like it's in the nighttime. Okay, how many other times? Well, what we're looking for is the first time that that particular pattern of spirit actually got planted. And that's what we're calling a root, or in some cases a head of a spirit.
Core, head, root. So that's taking a cobweb situation from this week and tracking him back, being the detective, going back as far as you can go with it.
I'm kind of hearing a double message in my head, is to go back and dig on these spirits, but then I just heard, don't go back and entertain these thoughts and don't go back. But how are you going to write this stuff down and not go back and go back?
What's your motive?
My motive is to clean up the junk in my mind.
Okay, if you got instructions to write autobiography and go back, your motive is not to go back and fantasize again and relive it again and think about it and let it take you off for 2 or 3 hours. Your motive is to go back and dig that dude up and put him in your book so you can tell on him.
Okay.
That's your motive.
He's hidden, so you want to find him. You can't get rid of him until you find him. So we got to face it. We got to find it. And then after you find it, judge it, cast it out, then it's gone, then there's no need. If you got the whole cobweb out, then there's no need to go back into that autobiography again.
There's a whole lot of difference in actually, working discernment in your mind when you're digging and actually reliving a situation. You can look at objectively at a situation. Maybe you had a date with somebody, and you had all, well, a lot of people had dates. But when you're looking at a situation, you can look at it objectively with discernment that actually goes in and focuses on maybe the feelings that you had in comparing, reliving it and thinking about what he had on or what she had on and have sexual fantasies about what happened that night and so on. And they actually reoccur as if you're reliving it at that very time. That's not digging on evil spirits. That's reliving it, and that's what we want to prevent. Because each time we relive it, the spirit is living through us. It's taking our life at that time.
There would have to be discernment going on through this entire time, not just going back there and reliving it, arguing and looking back. Remember the pillar of salt.
Right.
Anytime there's a looking back, and as that spirit's receiving life from us, there's a looking back situation.
That's why we want to check our motive. Are we doing it the way God has instructed us to do it? Are we doing it so we can entertain ourselves, so to speak?
This is a question. I felt, my understanding was that even though we cast the spirit out, that it has a right to come back and try to get back in. What I'm hearing is that it's already been judged. It doesn't have a right to come back in. You slam the door in his face, sure. But if you don't, he's got a right to replant.
All right.
I don't know if I'm understanding it wrong.
Let me say two things to that. The question is, does the spirit have a right to come back or not? Number one, the spirit that was cast out and is in the bag doesn't have a right to anything. It's out of existence. That thought, that spirit is in the bag. We judge a spirit. That doesn't mean that that evil angel doesn't have a right to come back and knock on our door. That evil angel can come back and knock on our door until we've judged the evil angel out of existence. So our decision is yes, it's stop, no, I will not let you in. But the evil angel is going to go through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He's going to come back to the house. That's the evil angel's job, try to get back in. But he doesn't have to get back in. That's our decision to not let him back in.